It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk to a farming reporter about the latest news in the ongoing raw milk debate here in Wisconsin.
First, we're talking about a new study that looks at how recessions affect the decision to have children. A lot of women decide to put off having children when the economy isn't doing so well. But new research shows that some women will never have children because of a recession.
Janet Curry joins us now. She's a professor of economics and public affairs at Princeton University, researching this issue. Janet, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks very much for having me.
So before this current research, it seems like it was kind of well known that at least during the recession itself, women tend to put off having babies. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. And there was a lot of publicity about it right in 2008, 2009. There was a very noticeable downturn in the number of babies.
So we're digging our way out of this recession. What made you decide to look at this data, look a little deeper into the long-term impact?
Well, we started off thinking about the effects of recession on people's health, and we had done some earlier work showing that places that had a lot of foreclosures and high unemployment had more heart attacks and strokes and things like that. So we thought, well, wouldn't it be interesting to see whether there's also an effect on babies if their mothers are very stressed due to economic conditions? And then when we started thinking about that, we realized, well, it's kind of hard to say what the effect is if you don't first know whether there's any change in who is having babies. And so we ended up looking into the fertility question.
Yeah, let's get into that. What did you find when you figured out whether the women, the families who put off having children during the recession would ever have children?
So the interesting thing is that different people react in a different way. And in particular, women who were young at the time of the recession, specifically in their early 20s, were more likely to not have any children. So that what that meant was that the effect grows over time because you are missing not only the baby that you didn't have today, but then the second baby or the third baby that you would have had later on. For older women, we didn't see that. So for older women, they would make up the lost baby later. And so what you'd see is bigger birth spacings and not fewer children.
So it sounds like the age group that's really hit is the one that's just entering the most likely childbearing years when the recession strikes.
Exactly. And I think one possibility is that people are at a kind of critical time of their life, and if they end up not going down one path, then they end up on another path entirely, and so do something else with their life.
Now, I know these are big numbers we're talking about and a lot of different factors going on, but do you have a sense of what's the baby gap? How many fewer babies are we having as a nation because of this?
Well, our estimate, so our research is based on past recessions, and we use that estimate to come up with a number for the current recession. And so our best guess, based on our research, is that there will be about 420,000 fewer babies as a result of the Great Recession, and about 160,000 more women who remain childless until age 40.
Interesting. So what is it, and maybe we're getting into the realm of speculation a little bit here, but what is it about hitting the recession at the beginning of the most likely childbearing years that makes it so that women ultimately never, in some cases, never have children?
Well, another finding was that people were also less likely to ever marry. Mm-hmm. And so that makes you think about the potential spouses. And we do know from previous research that men who graduate during recessions tend to have lower earnings for a long time afterwards, so there's a permanent negative effect on their income, and that could make them less attractive.
So we've seen a lot about the changing nature of family over recent years, but it still sounds like the most likely family group to get married would be that young woman a husband who is a good bread earner, maybe both of them have good paying jobs, and that's the most likely statistically to have kids, if I'm looking at the data right. So without that marriageable, that likely partner who's making good money to help raise a kid, that may be part of the factor in never having kids?
Yes, and actually we see that a lot, that, for example, marriage rates have fallen much more for poorer people than for wealthier people, and that's thought to be a really important factor.
And looking ahead, I still understand the basic, the starting point that we had there, that, okay, we put off childbearing, but the recession ends. We've got a slow, in this case, recovery. People are making money again. Why is it that that cohort doesn't just play catch-up 5 years down the road?
So that's a really good question, and one that I can't answer, you know, with any great certainty. But I do think for the older women, they're more likely to be in a situation where they have gotten married. Maybe they already have one child, so they put off a second child, but they're kind of already in the family building groove. Whereas for the young women, if they put off getting married, they put off having a first child, well, who knows, maybe they're on their way up the corporate ladder or something else when they get to their late 20s, and they just end up not going there.
Now, what kind of impact does this have on society at large? Again, we've been talking about the changing nature of family and child raising for a couple of decades now. What does this recession effect do?
I think it could possibly make it a little less normative to get married and have kids if people see that there are more people who don't. That's one possibility. I guess it could also have the reverse effect if people looked around and saw that there were a lot of people with regrets.
And I wonder, does this affect people of different socioeconomic classes differently? Are we talking about people at lower income levels being less likely to have kids, or is it across the board?
Well, so we know from other research that marriage rates are a lot lower for lower income people to begin with. For this particular study, I was using data from birth certificates, and birth certificates don't say what people's income is on them. So I don't really, there's no way to know that for sure.
We're talking to health economist Janet Curry about a new study showing that recessions can delay motherhood, in some cases, forever for some women.
We're continuing our conversation with health economist Janet Curry about her new study showing that recessions can delay motherhood forever in some cases for women.
Yeah, in her research, she found not only a temporary delay, but at least for a certain percentage of women who come of age in the midst of a recession, they might never have kids down the road. And we're taking your calls now. What do you think about this? Did the recession impact your family planning decisions? Did you put off having kids due to the bad economy and maybe the impact it had on your employment? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email talk@WPR.org. Janet, I want to look back historically a little bit. You mentioned that you've done research, compared this to previous recessions. Is this something that we pretty much always see? There's rough economic times, a recession or a depression, and a certain segment of the population then doesn't have children when they otherwise would have?
Well, the I guess the contribution of this study is it's fairly easy to see the decline in the short run, but then people weren't really sure what happened in the long run. And one reason for that is because there's so many other things that are going on that affect fertility. So we know that there's long-run trends, for example. So in this study, by following groups of women that we define by their year of birth and their state of birth, and looking for those same women in the birth records every year, we can basically count up how many babies that they ever had, and then we can look for dips in fertility for the ones that are affected by recessions compared to people born just before or just after. So that way we can try and separate what is really the effect of the economic fluctuations from what is part of some longer-term trend.
Well, that's an interesting detective story in a way, not just does the overall birth rate go down during these lean times and go up during the boom times, but actually trying to tease out how that age cohort does the rest of their potential childbearing years.
Yeah, and as far as I know, we're the only people that have ever said, okay, fine, let's just count up how many births those people had. We'll just follow over time the whole group and just count them up.
We'll take a caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Gene on the line with us in Toma. Gene, hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Oh, what did you want to bring up, Gene?
Well, I wondered because many years ago, my grandmother told me that when things turned down, my grandfather was a mine up on the Gogebic Range in Montreal outside of Hurley. And she said whenever there was a layoff when things got slow or a strike, 9 months later there would be a baby boom. And I actually challenged her a little bit later on, went and looked and compared records, and she was actually right. There would be a baby boom as a result of these miners not working as long in the hours they worked in the mines.
Gene,
and I'm wondering how that fits into this study.
Gene, thanks for that call. That might be so local. It might not show up in the data you're looking at, Janet.
Well, that's what I'm thinking as well. And it's a little bit different having a layoff than having a really big recession. So actually, particularly at that time, a lot of people who got laid off would have a pretty reasonable certainty of being called back to work. And so, you know, they might not like to be laid off, but it wasn't the same thing as totally losing your job and then not knowing whether or when you were going to have another one.
I don't know if you've started looking at this kind of data yet, but is there a corollary here? In an economic boom, are people more likely to have kids and more likely to start a career of lots of reproduction?
Well, that's a good question, actually. We haven't really looked at it that way, but I think that the way we're doing things would imply that that's true, that you would see higher fertility. And actually, so now I'm completely talking off the cuff because I haven't really thought about this before, but in the period just before the Great Recession, we had really low unemployment for a long period of time, and there was a lot of discussion about how birth rates in the U.S. were high compared to other places, and it's possible that there's a relationship there.
Well, you've done some unique and fairly novel detective work here in this research. What's next? What is the next question you're going to try to solve here?
Well, I think we might go back to our original question of trying to figure out whether the recession itself causes harm to children, basically by stressing their mothers. And so we're still working on that.
Well, Janet, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thanks again for having me.
That was Janet Curry. She's a professor of economics and public affairs at Princeton University. She was with us to talk about a new study. You may have seen it. It's been around in the news a lot, looking at how recessions affect motherhood, not just in the short term, but maybe leading some women to never have kids.